We're going to continue in 1 Peter chapter 5, and you can take your Bibles and go there. Yesterday, President Bush did award Daniel the Purple Heart, and we were very blessed for him, but being more than blessed, we're thankful for God's protection over his life. And we talked to him, and he's doing well. But in we continue to study along the topic of 1 Peter 5 with regards to the word elders and the responsibility of elders within the church. And by way of review, quickly in part 3, we saw that Jesus never called the elders of Israel together to meet with him. It was also interesting to note that God never called any Jewish elders to prepare the way for the Messiah. He had to wait for John the Baptist to be born to do the job. And even John's father had a hard time in believing when he was given this revelation. God never called any of the Jewish elders to announce his son's birth to. He went to the common people. He went to the shepherds. And you have to understand, the elders were supposed to represent God and speak the things of God. Mark 8:31 pretty much summarizes, you don't have to go there, the ministry of the elders in the day and time of Jesus Christ, where the Word of God says he began to teach, and he said that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests. And that's pretty much what they did. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So we saw that there were good elders and that there were bad elders. We saw in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, that Peter didn't open the chapter by calling himself an apostle. He called himself a fellow elder. He placed himself side by side with the other church elders. Paul used the same approach that Peter did in the book of Philemon. Peter didn't exercise his authority as an apostle. Instead, he exhorted them. The word exhort means, in the Greek, it's the word parakaleo, kaleo, and it's to call somebody to the side by way of exhortation, to comfort, to instruct them. That's the way that he chose to do it. We saw also that Peter was a witness and of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And being a witness, he could give his account with regard to that. Not only was he a witness of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also saw that he'd be a companion with the Lord Jesus Christ and share in the glory that was going to be revealed. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's begin again in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed in the future. Now we get to verse 2. Verse 2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. We looked at the word feed last time we were together on this subject, and we saw that the word feed in verse 2 is from the Greek word poimeo, poimeo. Now, all words come from what you call a root or a stem. And then we would take these roots or we take these stems and we'll put a prefix before it or a suffix. And what it will do is it'll change the word. The word poimeo comes from the root word poimein, poimein. Now the word poimein, of its 18 occurrences in the New Testament, 15 times it's translated shepherd. Two times it's translated shepherd, and one time it's translated pastor. So we see that the word feed the flock, comes from the root word shepherd. It's to feed as a shepherd would. And then we looked at Psalm 23, and we saw some of the great characteristics of an Eastern shepherd. To briefly summarize, we saw that a shepherd watched for enemies that were going to attack the sheep. We saw that a shepherd would defend the sheep from his attackers, that the shepherd would heal the wounds of the sick sheep, that he would find and save the trapped or lost sheep, that he loved them, that he shared his life with them, so earning their trust that they recognized his voice. And we looked in John where we saw that Jesus Christ was the good shepherd. And we can really follow the life of Jesus Christ if we want to know what a good shepherd is. And then once we follow the life of Jesus Christ, we can then have his life for an example to follow with regards to how to shepherd people, how to be a leader to people. If you really want to know how to lead people, the best example there is Jesus Christ. We are to feed as a shepherd would, feed the flock. That's what an elder is to do. If an elder wants to be serious about his job, the best example to look at is the good shepherd, the best shepherd, Jesus Christ. So if we'd study the Gospels and we'd see how Jesus dealt with people, how he protected people, how he had compassion on people, and how he worked problems out, we can learn a lot. Feed the flock of God which is among you. The elders were to feed, like a shepherd, the flock or the people of God. They were to feed the people of God. Before an elder can feed or can properly do this, he himself or she herself must have their lives straight with God. Before an overseer can properly take care of the church of God, they must be straight before God. Look at Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 28. You see, because if the overseer is not right with God, that which he endeavors to do or that which comes out of his mouth won't be the best for God's people. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." That's the first rule. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, talking to the elders, to the shepherds, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. You see, the first rule is that the shepherd, the elder, the overseer must take heed unto himself. What does that mean? That means that the shepherd has to have his own life together. He can't be living a double life. He can't be teaching one day and then put the Bible down and after he gets done teaching, go down the bar and sit with the boys and drink until 12 o'clock. He can't be overseeing and teaching the church of God and be a married man with a family and then at 11 o'clock at night, get a phone call and say, "Oh, so-and-so's got a flat," and go meet somebody at the motel and shack up with her. You understand? That's all hypocrite BS crap. That is not being honest. That's not a shepherd. That's a hypocrite. That's a liar. A shepherd is held accountable before God. An elder is held accountable before God. That elder must have their life together. Not perfect. That means they got to be in the Word. They got to be praying. They have to have communication with God. Because if God wants the people of his church to know something, and it's the shepherd's responsibility to hold forth that message, and the shepherd's out with the boys at the bar, what's going to happen? Not very good, right? Look at John chapter 21. John 21. We're talking about feeding the church of God, feeding the church of God, taking heed to yourself first, then you're able to feed. And it says the Holy Ghost made them overseers. A true elder is ordained by God, or men of God walking under the guidance of God to place them in a position. Not because we need somebody to do something, because you can place somebody in a position to do something that shouldn't be there and they can wreck everything. In John chapter 21, verse 16, Jesus said unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas. Who's he talking to?
Peter.
Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou know that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Poimeo. That's the word feed. Same word in Peter. Feed my sheep. Okay? So, Peter was intimately familiar with this phrase, feed my sheep, because the master instructed him with these very words. Now, Peter, years later in his life and ministry, addressing the leadership of the church, addressing the elders, turns around and uses the exact same words, feed my sheep. Now, where did he get that knowledge from? Well, originally from Jesus Christ. And then God told him to write it. God, the Holy Spirit, whether brought it to his mind or God said, this is what I want you to do. Because Jesus did it the best way. So Peter, years later, turns around and says the same thing that was spoken to him. You see? And Peter had a good example to follow because he lived with Jesus Christ. He saw how Jesus fed the people. You know that. So he saw it because he was an eyewitness. He was a witness, right? So he turns around and he simply sets forth that which the Lord instructed to him. You see how he's just handing it down to the next generation? He's not changing things because things are different, because things are bigger. Because how can you improve on Jesus Christ in the way he ministered to somebody? I don't understand. I don't know that you can. The best that we could hope to do is at least reach towards the level, at least head towards the direction that he was in, right? I mean, that would be a great testimony to one's life. If at least we were going the same way that he was, at least heading towards him. We'll never reach that. He was perfect, but at least we can be on his team. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed the flock of God. It's whose flock? It's God's flock. And an elder is to feed as a shepherd. Feed as a shepherd. He's to tend tenderly, lovingly to the people. The words, which is among you, which is among you. While an individual may have a concern for the entire church, it is their special duty to feed that portion which is among you. So the elder's responsibility in the church of Eagleville is not the elder's responsibility in the church of Conshohocken. You understand? It was the congregation, the local people that were among him. He didn't go running here, there, and yonder all the time. He just was concerned with that particular area. God wants his people cared for. And he wants his people cared for according to his instructions, not how man thinks he should care for the church. In Ezekiel chapter 34, God spoke to Ezekiel with regards to the shepherds and the way that they were caring for the church at the time. And he was displeased with the actions of those particular men and women, or men at that point, that were responsible for the oversight of God's people. In chapter 34, verse 1, it says, And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the who? Shepherds. So we know who he's talking to. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? Now, he's not talking about people and cattle, as we're going to see, as the context is going to tell you, people and sheep. He's talking to spiritual leadership. And you know what the spiritual leadership was doing? They were feeding themselves and not the flock. They were taking the money. They were taking the best of the foods. They were taking the free will offerings that the people worked hard and blessed them with clothes and beasts and everything else. And they were just having a good old time. And they weren't giving back to the people. They were hoarding it themselves. They were just living the life of luxury. Verse 3. You eat the fat, and ye clothe ye with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. You go out to all these fancy places, you wear all these fancy clothes, you buy all these fancy things, but you're not doing what I've called you to do. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which is lost, but with force and with cruelty you have what? Ruled them. That's how they were ruling the people. Instead of being like the good shepherd, you know, Jesus said one place, you know, if you have 99 sheep and one gets away, anybody worth his salt leaves the 99 and goes after what? These guys didn't go after the ones that were driven away. They didn't seek for the ones that were lost. They ruled with force and with cruelty. They forced people into doing things. They were cruel when they didn't get their own ways. They mandated rules and regulations, and they just beat up God's people. The result, and they were scattered, verse 5, because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. They became meat to all the beasts of the field. It can be a literal sense in how a shepherd would get a sheep scattered, but the greater spiritual truth here, because it's talking about the elders of Israel, is that when the people were scattered, the beast, the demons, the spirit realm just had a heyday with them because there was nobody to protect them. Not that they were doing a very good job in the first place. The New International Version of Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 reads, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart." This is what God's saying. "I'll give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding." That's how a shepherd was to feed the people. That's how an elder was supposed to work with his people. That elder had knowledge and understanding. Back to 1 Peter, please, chapter 5. "Feed the flock of God," verse 2, "which is among you." Feed the flock of God which is among you, "taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint." Taking the oversight. The words "taking the oversight thereof" means to do it willingly. Do it willingly. It's a voluntary thing. It's of your own accord. You've made that free will decision to take the oversight. It's something that you do because you love, because you want to serve. It's something that you're ready to do without being forced. "Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint." Not by constraint. That means you're forced to do it, but you do it willingly. You do it without being forced. In Isaiah chapter 6, we're going back to 1 Peter. In verse 8, this is a shepherd's heart. This is a leader's heart. This is a servant's heart. How they do something willingly, not because they're forced to do it, not because they're compelled to do it, but they do it because God works in their heart. Listen to what Isaiah says, verse 8 of chapter 6. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord." When you hear the voice of God and he asks you to do something, it's a good thing to listen. "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I," what?
Send me.
See, that's taking the oversight willingly. You hear the voice of God. It works in your heart, and then you say, here I am, I'll do it. I'll do it. Because you're blessed to do it. Not because you have to do it, not because you're forced to do it, because you want to do it, because you're blessed to do it. The New International Version of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 reads about Paul, yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. And he goes on and says, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. See, it was just inside his heart. It was inside his bones. He had to speak the word of God. He was compelled to do it. It was just so alive inside of him that it had to come out. And he said, woe unto me if I don't do it. Taking the oversight thereof. See, willingly. Then the words, not for filthy lucre. Not for filthy lucre. There must have been money involved in the first century. Had there not been an exchange of money or the possibility to abuse money, this would not be in here. That's what it's talking about, the abuse of money, to get paid for something. Just you're in it for the dough. You understand? Isaiah chapter 56, 11 refers to this particular type of individual where God says, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarter. That's what they were doing, these particular greedy dogs. They can never have enough. Shepherds that can't understand. They're always looking to their own way, everyone for what they can get out of it. Jeremiah chapter 6, again, refers to this type of an individual. In verse 13, it says, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. That's a horrible testimony of the leadership, isn't it? But I want to tell you something. That's in God's word. So you know what that means to me? That means it must be true. That means it must be available. Everyone, from the prophet even unto the priest, dealeth falsely. It must be available for a minister to get himself or herself in a position to where that can be written of them. That's not a good thing. Do you understand why it said in the book of Acts, take heed unto what? Thyself. The shepherd has got to stay focused on God's word. The elder's got to stay focused on God's word. And there's a lot of distractions coming at you within the congregation, without the congregation. There's all kinds of stuff. But you got to stay put on God's word. And you want to know something? Let me tell you something. It's not hard to stay put on God's word. If you hear a bunch of mumbo jumbo about, oh, we're worried about this and we're worried about screwing this up, that's fear. It's not hard to stay put on God's word. All you need is a heart that wants to do the will of God and this much common sense. And you can stay put on God's word. You can read the Gospels a lifetime. Look how Jesus ministered to people. Mimic yourself after him and you're just about could walk a perfect walk. And you don't have to know 1 ounce of Greek, Hebrew, or any other foreign language. Now, does that help? Yes. But it's not necessary. If your heart is to bless people, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10. You know, God doesn't forget about these kind of people. Look at the result. Therefore, will I give their wives unto others, I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. From everyone, from the least unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth what? Falsely. Dealeth falsely. Titus chapter 1, please. There is so much instruction in God's word on how to do it right. when we get ourselves messed up on not doing it right, it's because we're not looking into the Word. In Titus chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For a bishop who is an elder must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed." Not everything that he says or everything that he wants to do. You can't be like that. Now, you got to be strong on the Word, but you got to know that when somebody brings something to you from God, that's God's will. Wasn't very long ago that I was, you know, confused about a subject. I wasn't confused. I just didn't know what to do. So I started calling people and asking for their opinions. And lo and behold, I finally got to talking to one girl, finally, and what she told me was what God's will was. That's what I needed to hear, and I acted on that. See, you can't be self-willed. Not soon angry. Doesn't say you don't get angry, just as you don't fly off at every little thing that comes down the pike. Not given to wine. Okay, doesn't say that you can't have a drink. It says that you're not given to wine. It means you're not drinking all the time, you know. No striker. You don't go fighting with people all the time. And not given to filthy what? Lucre. See? Not for filthy lucre, we read in Peter. We are to feed the flock of God. Back to 1 Peter, please. Feed as a shepherd would tend to his sheep, the flock, the people who belong to God, which is among you, your particular congregation that God has set you over, taking the oversight thereof willingly, not by constraint, not because you're forced to do it, and nobody else wants to do it, so I guess I'll do it. No, you're willing to do it. Here I am, send me, that type of heart. Not for filthy lucre, not for what you can get out of the people, or their pocketbook. Stop that. Right? But of a ready mind, of a ready mind. What is it to have a ready mind? I think one of the best definitions of a ready mind is in 1 Peter itself. Go back to chapter 3, look at verse 15. This is a ready mind, the best kind you could have. But sanctify, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your where? Hearts. You set aside a place in God for God in your heart. Okay? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always to give an answer. Why? Because you've taken the time to sanctify, set apart God in your heart, and you're ready how? Always. You're always ready. I'd still never forget the time Kim and I had, I think we just had moved into Chestnut Avenue. We weren't there very long when we bought the house. And I don't know where we were, what fellowship or whatever. You know, I'm sure I was doing fellowship. But got this phone call from this girl that I had brought the Word of God to their home. Years back, and the whole family turned on to the Word of God, and it was just a wonderful movement of God's Word in that whole family, and they all grew up and, you know, went different places, but I brought the Word of God to their home, and she got married, and they invited us over their house, and we went down there, and I wasn't ready to give an answer. I wasn't, because wherever I was in my life at that point, I just wasn't ready. And the Romans chapter 9 came up in 10 and 11. And, you know, in Romans 9, 10, and 11, you got sections where God addresses, or Paul addresses the Jews. Then he talks to the Gentiles. Then he talks to the church. Then he goes back to the Jews. Then he goes back to the Gentiles. And he asked me this question, and I wasn't able to answer it. See? I had not sanctified the Lord God in my heart, and I wasn't ready to give an answer to that person at that time. I just wasn't, and that's a sad thing, because perhaps if I was able to answer the question, maybe it would have You know, who knows what it would have did for them? I do not know. But you see, take heed unto yourself. Take heed unto yourself. 2 Timothy, please. This is paramount when you're going to take heed unto yourself as an elder. Verse 15. And no matter how old you get in the Word of God, it's still the same rule. Okay? It may be different food, but it's still the same rule. You know, when a little baby's born, mommy feeds the baby for a while, perhaps. Then after the baby bites mommy once or twice, mommy says it's time to give this baby some baby food or a bottle, right? So, mommy gets this green, mushed up pea soup blended stuff that even the dog, you know, the dog's normally there at the table. When he sees, he goes lays down. And then we try and force this stuff in the baby's mouth. Now, the baby's smarter than all of us because you know what the baby does as soon as he tastes that? Spits it at you. I don't want this stuff. What's the matter with these people? So we torture these poor little creatures and we put all this green stuff and then we get real, you know, enthusiastic and we start mixing it with carrots and now we got green and orange and we're just... And after a while the baby figures, I'm going to starve if I don't eat this junk. So I'll get even come diaper time. So the baby does all these things and they grow up. And they wind up eating cheesesteaks and hamburgers, cheeseburgers, right? But the principle is still the same. They're still eating. They may have graduated to a cheeseburger or a steak sandwich, right? But they still need to eat. It's a basic fundamental of life. This is a basic fundamental of spiritual life. Now, you may not be having milk, depending on how long you've been in the Word, but you still need to eat. And once you get yourself to the place that you don't think you need to do this verse, you're starving yourself. You wouldn't do that with food, would you? As a matter of fact, our bodies are so designed for some of us every 2 hours that when we get hungry, what happens? We start getting pains, right? I need something. Well, spiritually, it's the same way. But what happens spiritually is that the manifestations we do not recognize. That it's because of lack of food. Lack of food. Spiritual weakness and inability are caused by improperly cutting the Word of God or neglect of what? The food of God's Word. You see, improper food or the, you know, neglecting the food of God's Word. So if you're starting to manifest spiritual weakness and inability in your life, that you're not able to do the things that you want to do, that God's not, maybe it's because it's a neglect of the Word of God or improper food of the Word of God. Who have you been listening to? What are you reading? What are you putting in your mind that you're not able to manifest? You know, you put 85% octane in a AA fuel dragster, it doesn't get it to go very fast. You need that right fuel for that vehicle. The same with God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We stand approved before God as we rightly divide the word of truth. In that we rightly divide the word of truth, we will stand approved before God. In that we don't rightly divide the word of truth, in that we won't stand approved before God in our workmanship. See, not spiritually, because we are spiritually approved before God in Christ, perfect, righteousness, everything, you understand? But in our workmanship and our efforts of dividing the word of God rightly, orthotomanto, to divide that word rightly, we will be approved as we rightly divide the Word of God. And then we must rightly present the Word of God with a proper heart. Not lording over God's people. You're going to see that coming up later in that verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed like a shepherd would the flock, the people that belong to God which is among you, that you are set over, that group. You take the oversight there, not by constraint, not because somebody's forcing you to do it, but willingly, because you want to, because you have a love for God and you want to serve. Not for filthy lucre, not for what you can get out of it, not for what it's going to do for you, but of a ready mind, because you've sanctified the Lord God in your heart, and you're ready always to give an answer to any man that asketh of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Because you've studied the word of God to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth, right? And it's very interesting that at the end of verse 2 of 1 Peter 5, you don't see it, but some of the oldest manuscripts, the Vulgate, the Syriac, and the Coptic, they add the words, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, then the words, as God would have it to be done. That's what they add. As God would have it to be done. In other words, this is the way God wants it done. That's the way God wants it done. The Geneva Bible has an interesting side note with regards to this particular verse. The Geneva Bible summarizes it and says, the first rule is that he that is the shepherd, let him feed the flock. He that is the shepherd, he is the one is to feed the flock. The second is to let not the shepherd consider that the flock is his, but the flock is God's. So the shepherd's got to understand whose flock he's feeding. The third is, let not the shepherds invade other men's flocks, but let them feed that which God has committed unto them. And the fourth, the Geneva Bible notes, let the shepherds govern the church with the word and example of godly and unblameable life, not by force, but willingly, not for greedy gain, but with a ready mind, not as lords over God's portraits and portion and heritage, but as God's ministers, as God's servants. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. And as we continue on, we'll go to verse 3 the next time we're together. But that's a wonderful section of Scripture, because God goes into his word. We can go into God's word. We can see from Ezekiel, from Isaiah, from Jeremiah, what it is and what it is not. And we also see that those shepherds that disobey, God said, I'm going to give your wives to what? Others. Well, what does that mean? Oh, I'll tell you what it means. That means that their families are going to split up. Maybe the shepherd's going to get killed. Maybe not. Maybe they're going to get divorced. And he's not going to be able to enjoy his children growing up. He's not going to be able to enjoy that garden that they planted in that house that they had ready for their vacation, etc., etc. See? Because it all fell apart. But the reason why it fell apart was because they were doing the devil's bidding, and God had warned them. God had warned them, this is how you do it. And if you don't do it this way, this is what's going to happen. And somehow, the adversary got a hold of them, perverted their mind, perverted their thinking and their logic, deceived them, and got them going down the path that led away from God instead of towards God. And the result was the prophecy of God's word, because God's word can't be broken. And it came to pass. And that's what happened. See, it wasn't God who split those families up. It wasn't God who killed those people. It wasn't God who caused that divorce. It was the men and women that were involved, particularly the shepherd, the man, the overseer, who allowed himself to be deceived, who allowed himself to follow after covetousness, who wanted greedy lucre, who wanted the limelight, who wanted the lust, who wanted all these other things. It was him not controlling his appetites, not being blessed in the gifts and abiding in that which God had given him, but following after things and walking in the power of his own might and his own ministry. And when you do that, you're heading down the hill for destruction quickly, because you can't do that. If it's God's ministry, no matter what you do and no matter what you build, the Word of God says, unless God's there, those who build the house labor what? In vain. You may build something, but it's in vain. And the foundation is not Christ. And when the winds come and the storm comes, you know what happens. Great is the fall, right? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for the encouragement that you give us in your word. And thank you, Father, for all the instruction and the simplicity of it. We pray, Father, that we would have hearts to be meek to hear your word, and then have ready hands and feet to take your word and act on it. And Father, that we would have compassion also to reach out the way you reached out to us. Thank you for these things in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.